Welcome back on in, everybody, to a new episode of the Strictly NFL Podcast. I'm back again, hosting. Now I am joined by Luca Garofalo, who a lot of you guys know as Knicks Tape on Twitter. And we're going to be breaking down a lot of the draft stuff. We're going to be We're going to be getting into off-season moves, kind of breaking down some positional groups and, you know, take the conversation from there. So before we start diving into all that stuff, I do just want to remind everybody that the Strickland does have a Patreon where you are either watching the full episode of this video or watching the shortened Patreon preview on YouTube. So if you want to see the full episode of this video, you can join our $9 tier. The Patreon is patreon.com/thestrickland. You also get the $3 a month tier where you wouldn't get the full access to this pod, but you will join our Discord. You get the $6 a month tier, you get the $15 a month tier, and further tiers like 30 and 50 and so forth. In our $15 tier, you get a $15 discount on Strickland merch, which is always cool, and a bunch of awesome perks that you can look through on the Patreon site over there. Now, our sponsor for this episode is BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals betting this season. Every stat and every matchup and even live odds and spreads can be found while the games are being played. When the game's over, head up to the online casino and get in on some blackjack or poker, whatever one you like more, and unwind over there with over 150 slot games as well. I like blackjack personally. So you can head over to their website to get in on the action and use the promo code BLEAV, capital B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% match on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So the Giants draft started at number six, where there was a lot of talk about Drake May potentially being a guy who the Giants move up for. Some people, but even saying that they might trade up for J.J. McCarthy. Some at the day of the draft saying Romo Odunze was the Giants' favorite receiver at number six. Turns out all that stuff was either false or the Giants didn't care enough to make it happen. So we ended up with Malik Nabers at number six, a player who I think is very, very talented. If you guys have followed my tweets on Twitter about it, I did prefer Odunze over him, which in the moment kind of made me upset. But in the macro scheme of things, it's not a huge deal. So I want to pass it over to Luca for this before I kind of dive into it and, you know, take us down a whole different tangent.
I always wanted Nabers to be the pick if we weren't going to trade up for May. I just thought it's been way too long since the Giants have had like an alpha wide receiver one, as cliche as that sounds. Mm-hmm. And especially with the QB situation probably not being addressed if we didn't move up. It's always good to get a reliable wide receiver, even as a rookie, for whoever's going to be back there. But the one thing I will say is I'm happy we didn't trade up for JJ. That would have been not ideal.
I agree. Nabers is going to have, obviously, a huge impact just because, you know, you can scheme up these easy targets for Wandale. You can scheme up these, you know, deep shots for Jalin Hyatt. But the fact of the matter is you're going to have to be trusting Daniel Jones to throw a ball 30-plus yards downfield. And with Wandale, you're going to be throwing the ball to a guy who's 5'8", you know, what does he weigh, 185? So anytime – and I love Wandale, the player. I love what he brings to the table. But anytime you get the ball in that guy's hands – you really need to do a lot of heavy lifting in terms of scheme and blocking to, you know, maximize every touch. Yeah. Nabers is just different. He's you know, 6 foot, 200, running like a 4.38. Agility times are just – I don't think he actually did agility testing, but if you turn on the film, it's fucking ridiculous. So it's a lot easier to see Daniel Jones succeeding this season with Nabers. Just so many easy targets are going to be able to, you know, be given to him, whether that's – you know, a quick out, a quick in, slants, screens, just flat out telling him, go get this ball.
Yeah.
It's going to be great to watch. That does kind of leave Darius Slayton on the outside looking in. a guy who I thought really was going to be traded for maybe a late third, early fourth, on either day two or three of the draft after the Nabers selection. But they kept him in-house. I think, honestly, I think that was the wrong move to do. I don't think that the Giants are really starving for depth at receiver, especially after the draft pick of Nabers. You still got Hodgins. You know, Colin Johnson seems to make waves every preseason somehow.
Training camp legend.
Yeah, so I think holding Slayton, you know, a move that I'd kind of really argue against. But we'll see what happens maybe in the trade market for him throughout the season. How do you kind of see this wide receiver room shaking out, in your opinion?
I mean, just want to go back to Nabers real quick. He complements this wide receiver group really well, I think. If it's going to be is Slayton still going to have a starting spot? Because he can be a threat from all three levels of the field, from the short, the intermediate, and the deep. Yeah. To your point, though, he's going to be open down the field, and it's probably in Daniel Jones' hands to get it to Nabers. And that's been the issue for DJ's career thus far, I feel like.
Yeah.
All-encompassing. But like you said, just having a guy who can be that much of a threat and has ridiculous speed and athleticism, it's just going to be like a safety cushion for this receiver room.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can tell by my little tag, I want the Giants to play Hyatt a lot more than they did last year. I kind of hope we do trade Slayton midseason just so that, like, basically gives Hyatt a guaranteed starting spot in the top three receivers. But that also depends on how he's developed his route tree this year or this offseason.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of just a deep threat last year. And it may have been because he didn't get enough opportunities to show his full route tree. But I think at the end of the day, he still had to round out his route tree and his hands coming into this offseason.
Yeah. One thing that I think in that big spot in the Buffalo game where he did have that drop, right, on the, I believe it was either the third down or the fourth down, that play kind of was the play that Giants fans pointed to in the beginning of the season and were like, oh, see, he still has a lot of development to go before he's, you know, a guy who can run real routes. And in some respects, I don't think they're wrong from a consistency perspective, right? Like, he's, you know, he's not giving you identical reps every time because that's not who he was at that time. But the ceiling is there with him from, you know, the way he's moving on his routes, the way he can drop his hips into breaks. That ability is there. And so I do have really high hopes for him. To your point, that's why I do kind of, for as much good as Slayton's done here, for as much as he's developed here and really worn it, took it upon himself whenever he has had to improve. It's just, there's three guys here, all highly drafted, all round three or higher. They all have to be playing 80% of the snaps. It's just that point in time for this roster. So with that being said, I think all three of these guys have pretty great versatility, whether it's slot, kind of off the line with a tight end, whether it's outside in trips, stack bunches, like all their stuff is going to be versatile. It's all going to be okay. You can't really shadow Malik Nabers with a corner, because if you have, let's say a guy like a Darius Slay, right, he doesn't really venture into the slot too much, or like a James Bradbury, you can't really put that guy on Malik Nabers for a full game because the Giants will put him in the slot and take away that matchup if you like it, if it's being effective. So I think they have a lot of chess pieces to mix and match. And all in all, to kind of put it all together, I'm excited to see how they all mesh throughout the course of this season.
And also just trusting Daves and Kafka to, like you said, just scheme up well for these guys. And because I feel like even Wandale has the versatility to play outside if it's just like a short route or a screen. because he's elusive and he's not like, I know he's 5'8", but he's not like that small of a guy.
No,
I worry about
I worry
about him getting hit every time he does, but he's not that small of a guy.
What Wandell, like, the thing with him is when he gets knocked down, he kind of takes a while to get back up. That's scary. It's funny. Art Stapleton actually brought this up, but I think in non-ACL games, right, like where the ACL just wasn't a factor, he hasn't really missed a ton. Like, he missed a little bit in the beginning of his rookie season, but after he came back from the ACL this season, he was pretty healthy. And so that gives me some, you know, some ease of mind when we talk about his, you know, health and injury situation.
That's true. And completely off topic, but what are your opinions on skinny Daves before you move on to the running back room?
Oh, man. I hope he burnt the calories without burning the ball knowledge. Because that was the topic last year.
You think all the ball knowledge was in his gut?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if he shaves off the beard, we're definitely cooked. Because if it's not on the belly, it's in the beard. And if it's not an
eye. Oh, my God. If he shaves off the beard, it's still over.
It's done. It's, you know, we're going to be doing halfback draw on 3rd and 19 if he shaves the beard.
It's like, it reminds me of when Julius shaved his head for the beginning of the season.
Not to the bean? Yeah.
Yeah. Freeform's Jew had aura.
I think the braids had much more aura than
the braids had so much aura. Hashtag bring back the braids.
Malik Nabers has braids, doesn't he?
Yep, I think he does. Or he has twists, something like that.
But yeah,
his hair kind of looks like Quick's sophomore season.
Yeah, I remember.
No, he rocked the afro sophomore season. I guess his third year.
This was year four.
Yeah, like, this was year just
passed. Okay, so it was year three Quick that he looks like. Yes, you're right.
All right, let's bring it back in. speaking of elusive, well, I can't say Kentucky, but elusive small people, the running back room is going to be super fun this year.
Yep.
Running back by committee, since Saquon signed with the Eagles for a 3-year, I believe it was $39 million.
I think it was 38.25.
Okay.
I have that number, I think, burned into my head, but I'll double check that for us.
That's fair. But the Giants drafted Tyrone Tracy at pick 166.
Yep, Purdue.
And they added Devin Singletary from Houston, who arguably had the better season, but he had a better statistical season, at least yards per carry wise, than Saquon did. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of stuff goes into that. A lot of stuff. I'm not gonna, you know, I do wanna poke fun at Saquon, like, in a nice way when we can, but he had a better quote unquote season than Saquon. He obviously wasn't better than Saquon. We all know that. But
that just goes to say,
sorry. Go ahead. No, you're good, you're good.
That just goes to say the statistical drop-off, at least efficiency-wise, isn't going to be crazy, especially given these O-line problems. And I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly or not, but I think I was listening to a Talking Giants pod, and they said Singletary had really good yards after contact numbers. Making that up.
No, you're definitely correct.
But he's a little bowling ball back there. So I don't have high expectations for him, but I'm definitely excited to see what he has this year. What do you think about the signing, Con?
Yeah, I have the expectations of just being a good player, right? Filling a role. Yeah. You know, you're not going to be asked to take on 90% of the running back touches, because if you're asked to do that, then Joe Shane has failed at his job, right? Between him, drafting Tyrone Tracy, like you talked about before, having Eric Gray, you know, in the building, having drafted him last year, bringing back a guy like Gary Brightwell. If you are going to give Devlin Singletary that many touches, you might as well just give Matt Breida the veteran minimum so he could come back and kind of eat a little bit of work. So,
yeah,
I think they fully drafted Tyrone Tracy knowing that he still has some development to do, but that they believe in him as a guy who can really, you know, make an effect in games this season. And between him, between Singletary, I think those are the two guys who are going to play combined maybe 85, 90% of the snaps. You know, probably something like 55 to 60 for Singletary, and then maybe about 30 for Tracy in year one. So
yep.
I'm excited to see what they can do running behind, you know, this line and with Carmen Brasillo kind of running the show. I think in Oakland or in Las Vegas, pardon me, they did a great job of getting guys out on the boundary and getting them, you know, running straight line instead of having to run side to side. So that's going to be huge for us. I think it's a shame that Saquon wasn't back to kind of be bolstered up by the situation that I think we're going to have around the running backs this season. But at the end of the day, we're going to get, you know, Jermaine Illuminor out in space, who did a great job of that last year in Las Vegas. I'm excited to see Andrew Thomas get out in space. I think his athleticism is something that the staff hasn't really tapped into, whether that's these guys with, you know, Daboll, Kafka, etc., or back when Pat Shurmur was here, or back when Joe Judge was here. I think all those guys – actually, I think Pat Shurmur was not here when Andrew Thomas got drafted, so never mind on that one. But Joe Judge
– in 2019.
Yeah, I think he was the 2019 pick. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see those guys get on the perimeter. I hope that we use JMS in that fashion as well, because 2023 was not a great season for him when going up against, you know, nose tackles every possession, every snap. I think he has really good feet, and I think out in space he is accurate with his hands, you know, in the screen game and just getting up to the linebacker second level. I think he's really good with that stuff. So I want us to be moving the guys a lot laterally. And then once they're moved laterally, then we get vertical. Keep our guys, Singletary and Tracy are both pretty small backs. So we want to keep them out of, you know, the A and the B gap, keep them playing against smaller bodies, keep them playing against, you know, skinnier guys who they can also use their size and speed against, their size and just their power against. Because if I'm going to tell you right now, if we get Singletary matched up on a boundary cornerback, I'm pretty confident, right? So,
yeah.
All in all, I do like the Tracy signing. I think he also brings, like, the pass-catching element that we really lacked while Saquon is here playing 85, 90% of snaps. So, I don't want to talk this up as, oh, what a draft pick by Joe Shane. At the end of the day, he's a little bit of an older prospect. Not a lot of production history there, but there's stuff to like, and there's stuff to like about how he'll mesh with Singletary.
Yeah, for sure. And just to go back real quick to the O-line stuff, to your point, we need JMS to take a big step this year. I thought he started out well through the first like 4 or 5 games of last season, but then he started making like a lot of noticeable mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't really watch film, and specifically O-line film. I know you put a lot of work into that, but like, he was making noticeable errors through the second half of last season consistently. Like, if he snaps, wasn't getting his feet set, he was getting bodied a lot, which I know like a lot of these things are you can expect from a rookie. But if this old line is going to be solid, we need JMS to be solid. And
yeah, a lot of the rookie things, to jump in, I'm sorry. Like, you're an older rookie, man. Like, a lot of that grace is stuff that, you know, it's a little different for Tracy because he was a fifth-round pick. But
yeah,
you were a second-round pick. So whether you're a rookie or not, the fact of the matter is you're 24 years old in the NFL, and you have an accelerated timeline. So be it as it may, draft capital, you know, pedigree, et cetera, as a prospect, he needs to have a good season, because we could easily be talking about him being replaced if he's, you know, poor again.
Yeah. And I mean, to that point, like, a guy like Joe Tip, or he was labeled very, like, NFL ready, and he would come in and be solid right away. And then you see a guy like Joe Tippmann come in for the Jets last year, and have a really solid rookie year. And that's something you would have expected from JMS being the higher pick and one of the Giants' highest picks in the draft last year. And I think he just fell short of expectations a bit. But that's not to say that I don't believe that he can get better and he will get better. I think his technique will probably be better coming into this year. His balance will be better. I'm not entirely worried about how he's going to develop. But I am optimistically hoping for a good season this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge for all these guys. Even the Lakers hired J.J. Redick.
Wow, really?
So we just came back from a little break. But yeah, J.J. Redick is the new coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, which is kind of nuts, kind of wild.
It's going to be funny. I won't take too long on the basketball stuff again, but no, when they lose games last year and J.J. and LeBron doing their little podcast and Lakers Twitter is going to be beautiful during that time, so I will be there.
Are they going to keep the podcast?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, fucking Draymond has his stupid podcast. It seems
people will watch this one, though. Like, nobody watches Draymond.
I'm not so sure about that.
Really?
I'm actually curious now. I'm going to see how many. I'm going to do a little number hunting. I mean, I cannot listen to that dude speak, but okay, it's not that much. He has 125K.
And what? Let's see what his views are like. His views are 18. He has a video on why Brunson will fail.
He's such a fucking hater. I cannot stand Draymond.
He gets fined. Like, he gets like 6K a day.
This won't last. And then literally like two videos before that, hey or Mello for best Nick ever.
just totally nonsensical.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Getting back to the real sport that matters, you know, not the, you know, soft NBA world. I'm really excited to see all these guys with Carmen Brasillo. I think that the stuff that he did in Oakland, I keep saying Oakland, man, Jesus. The stuff you're he did washed. In, I'm very washed. The stuff he did in Vegas with a lot of the names they had, like Greg Van Roten, who I connected a lot to the Giants in, you know, this free agency period, who's still available, and I think we might talk about him if we talk about the Darren Waller retirement later. That gives me a lot of hope for whoever we have at guard, whether that's, you know, Zudu, if Neil wins the right tackle job and we push Luminor into guard, I think Rendon can have a great season with him. So there's not too much to analyze there really just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't seen these guys in preseason. We haven't really heard too many quotes from Brasillo himself, but I'm beyond positive that's going to be an upgrade. If it's not an upgrade, then like burn this fucking building down, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, we're cursed franchise. I mean, just to go over the Raiders' O-line ranks since his hire there. In 2021, the year before he got hired, the Raiders' O-line was 28th in the NFL. The first year they hired him in 2022, it was 10th, and then last year it was 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with what I consider to be less talent on the O-line than the Giants have, especially considering they have the best tackle in the NFL. And
top five.
Luminor. Okay, hot take. He's better than Trent Williams. No, I don't actually believe that. I got to push my agendas, though.
Yeah, I respect that.
But yeah, given it's looking like it's going to be Neil starting at right tackle, at least to start the year, and then Illuminor, Runyon, to fill either the guard spots, jam us at center. Like, that's a pretty talented line. Let's say we even get, like, I don't know, like a 25-30% leap from JMS and Illuminor and Runyon play up to standards. You're probably looking at a top 10 O-line in the NFL.
I think there's a chance of it. If Runyon just holds serve, especially in the pass game, it's just going to be huge. We have so many deficiencies in the pass game. Pretty much everybody last year besides Andrew Thomas was a liability. So for him to be even a mediocre run blocker and, you know, well above average pass blocker, in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't make him a great player, but he will be exactly what we need. I'm confident in what we have in JMS as a run blocker.
Yeah.
And I'm confident in what Evan Neal has showed in his highs as a run blocker. I think there's a lot more that we complained about with his pass pro. With his run blocking, I feel like he, you know, he's first of all, he's a massive guy. Like, pause on that, maybe. But
pause.
He's a massive dude, and when he gets downhill in the run game, he legitimately creates holes. So I am mainly looking for the JMS sleep in terms of consistency and being able to match up better with one tackles and nose tackles. Yeah. And then I just want Runyon to be able to come in and be the guy he was in Green Bay. Other than that, the opposite guard spot is going to take care of itself. Whether that's either of the two that we mentioned already with Luminor and Neal or with Azudu, and then let Neal and Luminor battle it out for that right tackle spot.
Yeah. I agree.
Good. Did you want to cut out again?
No, I was just saying, yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah, so I just paused that. Let's jump over to – we talked about offense a lot so far. Let's jump over to defense. Let's talk about some of the rookie secondary players who we drafted. First of all, Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, safety, on day two. I believe that was pick 47 that we had for that one. And then Andrew Phillips, who I believe was pick 72.
70.
70. Damn it, I was so close. Personally, I like the Phillips selection probably more today than I do the Newbin selection. And at the time, I didn't love either.
Yeah. But
the reports out of camp are that Andrew Phillips is pretty firmly taking a hold of the slot job already. So you love to hear that. Obviously, I had my doubts about him as a prospect, but the one thing I can take away with him is he's very physical. He doesn't mind getting a shoulder into tackle. He doesn't mind taking on blocks. And he plays them honestly. He's never going to try to go under a block, you know, and kind of get taken out of a play. And with him being able to hold down the slot spot, I think the cornerback two battle for the boundary is very interesting because we're going to have Banks out there. We all know that.
Yeah.
Do we see Flott play consistently, you know, majority of the snaps? Or is it going to be Nick McLeod, who's shown us a pretty good ability to play on the boundary? Is it going to be a guy like maybe somebody in the free agent market who we bring in now that Waller is gone and his cap hit is likely, you know, I say he's gone already. I think he's pretty surely going to be gone. Yeah. So with that $11 million, are we going to bring in anybody to play opposite of Banks? That is kind of the big question with the cornerback room. I personally don't think that's where I would put money at, but what say you? What say you, Luca?
I think it's interesting. Well, actually, I've been kind of out of the loop because I've been away and not tapped into Giants OTA talk because I'm a fraud. But they have on the Giants depth chart, they have Flott listed as the second boundary corner opposite Banks.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that Drew Phillips is kind of taking over the slot corner spot because, like you said, we've seen Nick McLeod have flashes of being a solid corner out there. You still have a guy like Trey Hawkins, who was a late pick last year, but his tape from college is pretty solid for a late pick, and he has the physical tools.
Yep.
And you just, it's just good to have spots out there where, although it may not be good for like John consistency's sake, if they're going to be a good team, just having a number of guys who can be developing out there. And Flott's got to finally show something, because they've had a lot of grace with him. I know he was also, was he a fourth round pick?
Flott was a third.
Okay, yeah. So he was pick 61. I know he kind of has to show something this year so the Giants hang on to him and keep him in a starting job. But if somebody else takes over that boundary spot opposite Banks, I wouldn't be upset about it.